first beer. It's where I found Jesus. Where I wrecked my first car.
Welcome back to the first show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on what's left of this Wednesday morning. As I said, we're in Washington, D.C. For the rest of this program and tomorrow coming up, we'll have Congressman Gary Palmer joining us and probably some other guests to be named later. But joining us now, very pleased to bring on, he's running for U.S. Senate, but he represents the 5th Congressional District in North Alabama, Congressman Mo Brooks here on studio or set with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jeff. You've got an excellent view here. After you get past all these blue curtains, you get a fantastic view of the Capitol in Washington, D.C. Well, we're on a rooftop right now and just about a quarter of a mile north of the Capitol.
Yeah, we're on the what they call the Senate side of the Capitol, north side here. I guess it's outside. We don't have to wear our mask, so you and I will not be super spreaders, if you will.
Well, I'm not going to get into COVID-19 in mass right now, but a lot could be said on all this stuff.
Yeah, well, it's a cool sitting nonetheless.
It's beautiful.
The one unfortunate aspect is they put me in a booth right next to Dale Jackson, who you could hear talking right now, who doesn't seem to care that we're on air, but I digress. So, Congressman, let's kick it off here. Campaign underway, U.S. Senate. There's been a number of polls out, but kind of your assessment of the campaign thus far.
It's going as well as I could possibly have hoped. The citizens of the state of Alabama, if the polling data is accurate, we're in first place by a wide, 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 wide margin. And the only question is whether I'll be able to withstand the attack ads of Katie Britt, the special interest groups, and whoever else decides to intervene in this particular Senate race. If I can survive those attack ads when they come, and there'll be millions, if not tens of millions, spent in attack ads, if I can survive those, I think we'll be real fine on Election Day.
But you anticipate those, that be a part of the campaign.
It goes with it.
Are you at a point now where, you know, do you respond to them, or do you just kind of let it go, and that's just a rough and tumble of a political season?
Well, what Katie Britt and the super PACs and the special interest groups are banking on is that they will deplete my resources so that I do not have the ability to respond tit for tat, where if they say X, I can say, no, here's what's false about X, and that would be my Y explanation. But at some point, they overwhelm you with cash. So if I have $3, $4, $5 million to spend, just a hypothetical, in order to respond to attack ads, but they're spending $10, $20, $30 million, that gives you an idea of the disparity. It also gives you an idea of the intensity with which special interest groups do not want an independent congressman from the United States of America, excuse me, from the state of Alabama serving the United States of America. They want someone who's beholden to their special interests.
I mean, is that the decision? And Alabama has this long legacy of sending people to Washington that are, you know, they want to bring home the bacon. I keep using it, it's so cliche, but they want that we have typically, traditionally sent, historically sent these members of Congress and to the United States Senate that would bring home the 10-ton waterway, money for that, that would bring home the defense contracts. But it seems like to me that's changing a little bit. That's not necessarily the
Well, Alabama has sent to Washington a variety of senators and congressmen, not just the bring home the bacon types, but also the America First types, people who believe, as I do, that Alabama's future is tied to America's future. And if Alabama is doing well, it's because the United States of America is doing well. And I'm one of those who focuses on America. And I strongly, strongly believe that if America does well, Alabama will do just fine.
I want to bring this up. You're dust up with Katie Britt down in Coffee County at the Enterprise event. How important do you think that is, that if you were willing to go against Roy Moore in that 17th cycle, how much of a campaign issue should that be?
If you're supporting or helping a liberal Democrat win, that makes a lot of Republican primary voters very uncomfortable. Over 70% of the Republican primary electorate has mild to very strong negative feelings about any candidate who helps a liberal Democrat get elected to the United States Congress, the United States Senate, or anything else. So it's devastating.
Well, and do you anticipate that will remain to be? It seems to be a focus of a lot of the AL.com types, and you know the establishment media want to conjure that back up. Do we need to talk more and more about 17?
Well, there are lots of issues in this campaign, but certainly being a part of a team that helped elect Doug Jones, who's pro-abortion, who voted to impeach Donald Trump, who in 2018 was the swing vote on repeal of Obamacare, that's a big deal. And if you're not going to be loyal to our philosophy of government, our being the Republican philosophy of government, why should you expect Republican voters to be loyal to you?
Well, fair enough. Let's move on to another aspect of the campaign. Now, I don't know if this poll's been made out for public consumption, but we've been talking about it on radio. Dale Jackson and I, he is his guest on earlier. You got this poll. It looks like the Blanchard campaign is sending it around. It shows you now suddenly with a 60-point lead over Katie Britt. That poll, whatever you think of it, though, those are the kind of promising signs. You think those are good signs for you, especially when people start to recognize that you're the Trump-endorsed candidate?
Certainly having President Trump's endorsement helps for a couple of reasons. One, a lot of Republican primary voters have great respect and admiration of President Trump. But second, and perhaps more important, President Trump's endorsement is a strong signal that if you believe in the MAGA agenda, if you believe in border security, if you believe in a strong national defense, if you believe in free enterprise and not socialism, if you're pro-life and not pro-abortion, Mo Brooks is the guy to go with. That, to me, is the primary benefit of having President Trump's endorsement, because he knows the candidates in this race. And he knows which candidate stands out, which candidate has stood for the conservative values and fought for them, hence his endorsement of Mo Brooks.
So, and now here we are today. Where do you, going forward, how do you build? How do you, there was another poll put out by the Washington Examiner, Public Opinion Strategies, roughly about the same place you had been in earlier polling, and it looked to me at the time.
Well, those two polls that had us that low,
yeah,
were badly flawed, and that is one of the most difficult things to communicate with people about, is whether a poll is a good poll or a bad poll, whether the question being asked reflects how you market the results or not. And the Washington Examiner poll, one of the things that struck me right off the bat is it said it polled 600 registered voters. It did not say it polled 600 Republican primary voters. And there's a huge difference. So in that kind of setting, if that's in fact what happened, and that's what their news release said, it left out the magic words, likely Republican primary voters. If it's just 600 voters of all stripes, well, you would expect there to be a large number of voters who are undecided, because those Democrats, you would expect to be undecided about choosing amongst four Republicans, okay? And sure enough, in that poll, you had a huge surge in the percentage of people who were undecided, almost 40%. And when that happens, that then decreases the percentages for myself, for Katie Britt, and typically everybody else who's a Republican on that ballot. But
undecided is not going to be an option on the May 24th.
But those people aren't going to vote in Republican primary on May 24th.
Right.
All we care about right now in a Republican primary are likely Republican primary voters, because they're going to be the ones who determine who the Republican nominee is going to be. You're not concerned about voters who are not going to vote in the Republican primary on May 24th. Now, you are concerned about those voters when you get to November and it's a general election, because then everybody participates. So if you skew a poll by including people who are not going to vote in the Republican primary, then those are results that are highly questionable. The polling that I've seen and relied on, by way of example, every single one of those polls is limited to likely Republican primary voters. And they're questions you asked,
right,
voters, to make sure that they are your target group. And those polls have all shown, 100% of those polls have shown, that we're in a position to win without a runoff. Now, I don't know if that'll happen, because the heavy artillery from the Katie Britt camp, from the special interest groups, from the super PACs, that hasn't started hitting me yet. Okay? But if the election were today, in my judgment, we would win without a runoff, in large part because my name ID, because people know who I am and what I stand for, and of course, in large part, because President Trump has weighed in to help people who are Republican voters know who the MAGA candidate is.
Now a couple of places she's dinged you, and this is probably maybe a preview of what's to come. It's number one has been the 2015 and 16 things you said about Donald Trump. Obviously, that's changed now. And the other one, your opposition to the NDAA and what impact that would have on Alabama.
I hope she keeps that up. It's about like her getting the endorsement of Alpha. Alpha wants to import all this cheap foreign labor.
Alpha's never endorsed. You've always beaten Alpha, right?
Alpha just endorsed Katie Britt in the last day or two. And that's great for the Mo Brooks campaign because it helps clarify who it is that really believes in border security and who does not. Alpha wants to import huge quantities of cheap foreign labor. The agricultural political unions across the country were pushing amnesty for illegal aliens this year on a bill that reached the House floor for a vote. The agricultural political unions have also strongly supported subsidies for agriculture. They've also supported welfare. Well, tens of billions of dollars in welfare they've also come out in support of, too. And so if you want someone who's going to be financially responsible, if you want people to be self-sufficient and work for a living, then it's best not to have Alpha's endorsement because that undercuts that message.
Well, then what do you say, though? There are farmers that rely on these subsidies.
Most farmers I know, they just want to be left alone.
Really?
And they can do it on their own if they're left alone. It's the government intervention. And most farmers I know understand the long-term threat of open borders, and they don't support it. But their political leadership, they take a different view on these things. And we'll see how it all plays out. Most farmers I know, by way of example, strongly support Donald Trump for president of the United States.
But on a rules,
and we fought this battle in 2020 where Alpha endorsed my opponent, and I got one of the best election returns.
You beat about 50 points.
Yeah, it was 75-25 because I was able to define myself based on not having been endorsed by Alpha in that 2020 election, based on my opponent having been endorsed by Alpha, and I was able to explain why. Now, you mentioned the NDAA.
Right.
Gosh, if she wants to support legislation that embodies into law the belief that the government can fire people because they don't want to take a vaccine, I disagree with that. But if she wants to take that position, fine, vote for the NDAA. If Katie Britt wants to have our daughters being forced to register for the draft, fine. Katie Britt, you take that public position. But we have some really strong reasons not to vote for this version of the NDAA, some very strong reasons as for why we can improve. We can do better is the bottom line. We can do better with National Defense Authorization Act, and I believe that we will because of my vote and others who voted against it. That showed some serious opposition. Over 100 people in the United States House of Representatives voted against the NDAA. That's a pretty large number.
That's the choice, that you have all these bad things in the bill, but then there's all the good for the state. That's objectively the decision, but well, that's kind of the contrast of the two.
Yeah, what you have to do is have standards. How much of the devil's doing do you agree to in order to get motherhood and apple pie, or do you insist on a bill that only has motherhood and apple pie? If you keep compromising away America's values, don't be surprised when America's values continue to decline. It wasn't just drafting women, where you're forcing women, our teenage females, to sign up for the draft. It's also red flag laws, where weapons can be taken from you. You're denied your Second Amendment rights without due process of law. That was in this legislation. You've got the failure of this legislation to address critical race theory so that it's permitted, because this legislation did not stop it. You've got people who want to engage in transgender surgeries at the expense of taxpayers. That's being done right now in our military. And the hormonal treatments for the rest of their lives tally hundreds of thousands of dollars per person. And taxpayers are being saddled with that bill. The NDAA is the place to fix those kinds of things. And this NDAA was, I could go down the list, but if you're happy with wokeness in the military, then you ought to vote for the NDAA. But if you don't like the direction, then vote against it, and that's what I did.
Last question here. We'll get you out of here on this. She made a lot. Katie Britt made a lot about your opposition to Donald Trump. You supported Ted Cruz in that 2016 presidential primary. When did you start to turn the corner on Donald Trump? Was there a point in time when you said, okay, maybe he's a guy I could get behind that? Did you change your mind?
Let me give you some background first. President Trump likes fighters. And he saw me as a fighter on behalf of Ted Cruz when I was chairman of his campaign for the state of Alabama.
Right.
And I was aggressive in trying to help Ted Cruz, my preferred candidate, become the nominee. Now, Donald Trump ran over all of us like he was a road grader. Okay, his campaign was very powerful. His message was very powerful. When he got into office, he started doing things that I strongly believe in, and we developed a good working relationship such that President Trump endorsed me for Congress in 2018. He endorsed me for Congress in 2020. He's endorsed me for the United States Senate in 2022, and he asked me to be co-chairman of his statewide campaign for president in 2020. So that's where we are today. And if Katie Britt wants to talk about all these things, well, then she's going to have to prove and establish whether she's a never-Trumper, a Johnny-come-lately, or is now only parroting those words because that's what the polling data says what she ought to say.
Not so much where he came around, but when did you personally come around?
When he became, in 2020, sometime in May or June, when Ted Cruz was beat, I started in 2016 is when I started announcing that I'm going to vote for every Republican on the ballot because we have to work together as a team. The Democrats, they stick together. Now, they have internal disagreements, but say on the House floor, they have won every significant vote for the last 2.5 years because they stick together. And we Republicans have to get past some of these personality differences. If we're on the same song sheet on public policy issues and where we want to take our country, we have to stick together. And that's what I do. And that's why in 2016, by way of example, I cut President Trump a $2,500 check to help his team win.
Right. Well, Congressman, we're up against a break here, but real quick, folks want to find your campaign website. Tell them where to look.
Sure. Go to MoBrooks.com. MoBrooks.com if you want a fighting MAGA conservative serving Alabama and the United States in the United States Senate.
Guys, we got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5.